Let's get to our guest for the half hour. Marianne Montaigne is with us, portfolio manager at Gradient Investments, who joins from Arden Hills, Minnesota. Marianne, thanks for being with us. We're kind of treading water a bit today in front of this employment report for the U.S. I think the Bloomberg forecast is looking for something around 250,000 jobs in the month of July. If we miss that mark, does that bring us closer to a Fed pivot?
Well, first of all, Doug, thanks for having me on. But, you know, we've looked at jobless claims rising to the highest level in 8 months on the four-week data. And job openings have dropped just over 600,000 in the last month alone. So we see, you know, a slowing here. We think it's more than just the two quarters of, you know, negative GDP growth. We see weakness across wholesale sales on a real basis, retail sales, again, on an inflation-adjusted basis, personal income down on an inflation-adjusted basis. We see some declines in industrial production, or I shouldn't say declines, but a loss of momentum there. We see home building falling. Inventories in many areas are too high. So I think, you know, however you want to define it, we're in a recession, but I don't think that means that the Fed has stopped raising rates. I don't think inflation has subsided, and I don't think we can't make money in this market.
Yeah, jobs market strength was hailed as an indicator that we're not in a recession, but if you think it's going to be steady as she goes for the Fed, what is that going to mean for growth and the depth of a potential recession?
Yeah, again, I don't think it's so steady as it were. They're facing lower commodity costs that we saw in June and persist into July across grains and other farm products, across certainly timber and oil and a number of industrial metals in the month of June. But it takes a while to filter that all the way through to the consumer. So, you know, prices are easy on the upside, sticky on the downside. I think they're going to see still higher inflation levels than any of us want to see for a while. And if they think that raising rates is the cure, then I think we're going to be raising rates for a while yet.
Have you been impressed by the quality of earnings that we have had for Q2? That at the same time, and maybe you can address the outlook and how you're feeling about what you're hearing from corporate America.
Well, many of our companies have announced better than expected revenues, which we think is important, but it's based on their pricing power. If you look into the second half of the year, the dollar is going to cut into the estimates for our global players, and consensus earnings per share estimates have eased slightly, though, from 10% growth this year and next to now 8% in 2022 and 9% in 2023. So I think we're dealing with all the issues fairly well. Certainly the valuations have come down sharply in mm-hmm. the first half of this year. And a lot of those growth stocks that had the huge multiples now are GARP stocks.
Marianne, we've spent a little bit of time unpacking the macro picture, but you did mention that you can still make money in this environment. So where are you looking to invest right now?
Well, first of all, from a larger, maybe 10,000 feet area, we rotated away from value, which worked so well in the first half of the year, to growth in our endowment series in early July. We prefer the U.S. and mid and large caps. And, drilling down to a couple of names, we like the auto part retailers, Advance Auto and Riley Auto Parts. They should continue to benefit from the aging vehicles on the road because new vehicle demand is outstripping production, and those repairs have to increase as more miles are driven on that old car. So historically, the pricing pass-through has been really good amongst the auto part retailers, and earnings are expected to grow in the low teens next year and over the next 12 months. For those who are looking for some income, Advance Auto also provides a 3% dividend yield. So we're looking for mid-teens total return on each of these names.
How would you characterize the American consumer right now? We were pointing out moments ago that gasoline prices have been down for 50 straight days. Some of that undoubtedly is due to demand destruction. Are people feeling like they just can't endure this inflationary environment?
Yeah, I think it's been telegraphed very well that inflation is very high, that they're losing their purchasing power. You know, all you have to do is drive past a gas station this summer to feel the pain. You don't even have to go to the pump. You just look at the price and you feel the pain. And so we've seen people withdraw from certain activities, but, you know, there's really a need for services, you know, getting out of the house and going to parties and getting dressed for a party and just doing the entertainment, the travel, that sort of thing. So there's, you know, some, again, that goes back to miles driven. People did cut back on miles driven, though. It's interesting. They didn't have to be told to consolidate your trips and other things we've heard in prior decades. They just did that. But also, there's a lot of people still working from home. You get the option to work from home, you take it because you get a instant increase in your salary by just staying home.
Yeah, we had some better than expected numbers out of Alibaba. So when you look at that sort of thing, do you think that consumer discretionary stocks are probably not a bad option right now? And if Alibaba did delist in the US, would you buy 8 shares?
I can't say that we would right now. I would say we're still focused on the service side of things, and on the consumer discretionary side, we're more on the defensive end of things rather than the offensive part.
And then we hear after the bell from companies like Lyft with adjusted EBITDA for Q2 above forecast. The DoorDash numbers, I think, were above forecast on the revenue side. Do you think maybe that there are certain pockets of the American consumer that are holding up really, really well, and maybe you want to be in some of those parts of the market like consumer discretionary?
Well, certain pockets. Again, I could see where people might look at Lyft as their alternative to renting a car while traveling. I've been in that position, and when you look at $700 for a few days' time with a rental, Lyft looks really, really attractive. So I think they're probably benefiting from the fact that people do want to get out and explore more. At the same time, there's limited vehicles available, and that moves into their sweet spot.
Marianne, just quickly, a lot of the people we talk to on this show have a larger than normal cash allocation. Do you fall into that category at the moment?
No, we don't. Across almost all of our strategies, we are mandated to be fully invested. So we do not have an abnormally large amount of cash on hand.
All right, Marianne, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Marianne Montaigne is portfolio manager at Gradient Investments.